How'd your candidate do? You feeling good about the way things worked out yesterday? Bruce Rauner winning the Republican nod in a tight race. And Pritzker, an easy winner with the Democrats. We're going to talk about that and some other things with Professor Emeritus from Illinois State University, Dr. Robert Bradley, joins us from his Florida compound. Are you right there next to Rush Limbaugh?
No.
He's always talking about his Florida compound. I thought maybe you guys were hanging out together.
Yeah, that would be an interesting pairing.
All right. So let me get your take on some things. Because we talked to Pat Brady earlier this morning, you know, and former Republican Party chair. He didn't seem too concerned about these numbers I'm going to throw at you. All right. Statewide, Pritzker got 562,000 votes. All right. Close to 563,000. Rauner got 351,000. Pritzker had five other opponents running against him?
Mm-hmm.
Rauner had one. Should Republicans be concerned? Should Rauner be concerned?
Well, the answer in brief is yes, because on the Democratic side in Illinois, as we've seen in a number of other states and special elections, this particular election cycle, Democrats seem to be more energized and are picking better candidates than we have seen in decades. And part of that is a reaction to the Trump administration. Even though Trump's not on the ballot, his presence, tweets, a variety of things, really serve as an umbrella over what is happening in a lot of elections.
And Erica pointed this out when Governor Rauner was making his victory speech last night, just before the 10 o'clock news, because he wanted to be on the news. So he may have gone a little early. But when he made that speech, he was in fourth place on all with all vote getters for governor, both tickets. He was in fourth place.
And what? Beyond what I just said in regard to the Trump presence creating this sort of cloud over Republican candidates, even at the local and state levels, you also have to be concerned about Rauner in terms of whether he is going to get the hardcore Republicans, the traditional Republicans, energized to campaign for him in the upcoming gubernatorial race, because his primary opponent ran on the plank that Rauner wasn't Republican enough. Mm. And there are a lot of people that believe that. And so it'll be interesting to see if he's able to energize them to get out and work for him. Very similar to a guy by the name of Peter Fitzgerald some time ago, who a lot of the hardcore Republicans really didn't back and ended up losing his Senate seat because of that.
Yeah. Well, you know, they were saying the same thing about Bruce Rauner, the candidate, the first time around, that he was basically a wolf in sheep's clothing. He was not really a conservative. He wasn't a Republican.
And he ran against one of the weakest incumbent governors we had seen in Illinois history. And this time around, that's not going to happen. He's going to run against, if nothing else, an extremely well-financed candidate. And that was not the case for the first time Rauner ran for governor.
So do you think with a billionaire running against a guy that's close to being a billionaire, that would discourage many qualified people from ever running for governor because they don't have the funds and they couldn't generate enough money to run a campaign against these powerhouses with the money?
Yeah, well, off the air, I had commented that there were a number of people up in Illinois that were calling down, giving me election results and things like that. And one of the things that was pretty consistent in their messaging is that they were all sort of disappointed with the election results on the Democratic side, because their consensus view is that it demonstrated money dictated results. And I'm very concerned about that and what message that sends to people, like you just mentioned, who are contemplating a run for office. Is that the fundamental message that we get out of this primary result? And that is money dictates results.
But then you have Jeannie Ives, who we just did some quick math this morning. Bruce Rauner spent about $142 a vote. Jeannie Ives spent 12. And she, he had 51.5% of the vote to her 48.5. So there's some hope. And, I mean, she really kind of got into it late in the game, too.
Right. And another hope, and it's people might not want to hear this, but another reflection of that is Trump winning the Republican nomination and ultimately the presidency. He is a person that did not spend a lot of money running for the presidency. And his race showed that money doesn't necessarily dictate results.
Yeah, but you, no one else would have gotten the coverage that Donald Trump would have, Donald Trump received, just simply because he was already a celebrity, a TV star.
Right. Exactly. But to the bottom line of money and how important it is, Donald Trump showed that if you play the media market right, and that's one of the things he was extremely astute at, still is astute at, is playing the media. You don't have to spend a lot of hard cash to win an office.
Well, maybe that's the trick. That's the trick then. You just have to learn, you take a page from Donald Trump and learn how to get the media to follow you around and post every tweet that you post on Twitter and every quote on the in front of cameras and microphones. How about the voter turnout? 26% roughly here in Bloomington Normal. I know Chicago area had about 29%, so I imagine the state is somewhere in between both of those. Surprising, disappointing, how do you feel?
Well, it's one of the things that you'll see is a lot of the county clerks and people directly connected to running the elections will tout it as a very high turnout. However, if you look at just simply the number that, you know, about 70% of the eligible electorate didn't turn out to vote, then it's very disappointing. And there's a lot of people that just don't vote, particularly in local and state races, because they're just consumed with the fact that they think national politics dictates everything politically, where it is actually the exact opposite, that more of your daily life, if it's affected by the government, is affected by local officials than it is national officials.
Well, my God, and especially here in the state of Illinois, you know, with all the financial troubles we have, federal government's not going to get us out of that.
No, and with the current administration, that's going to be ever less likely to happen.
Yeah.
And so you need to start thinking about local and state, particularly if you're dependent on government assistance, you want better roads, better schools, all those kind of nice things that we sort of take for granted, then it's the local and state level that you should be concerned with.
All right, let's go national, shall we?
Sure.
Let's go. Let's talk about the administration here and all this talk. I say there is no way that President Trump is going to fire Robert Mueller. I don't know how, I don't know how you get away with that. I know Nixon did it, but what's your thought on this?
Well, and there is at least one advisor who's probably acquainting Trump with the Nixon episode because it's starting to play out very similarly. And result, you know, and the bottom line to Trump is this did not work well for Nixon in any way, shape, and form. And I think there's at least one advisor who perhaps is fairly astute on history lessons that is telling Trump this is not the way to go. But saying that we are absolutely convinced that Trump is not going to do that does not speak well to covering, you know, his last year of actions, where he has been at best unpredictable in a whole variety, both in domestic and foreign affairs. I mean, who would have predicted that he was going to at least ostensibly meet with the leader of North Korea? mm-hmm. Given his earlier tweets. I mean, it's just, that's astonishing if you think about it.
Well, do you think that's really going to happen? Do you think that meeting will happen?
I doubt it.
I do,
put
too.
That probably about the same level of probability as him firing Mueller. But you can't never say never in regard to Trump.
All right, Bessler, we got to get another pool going. Got to get a, well, you know, I there was a story out last week that there were some people in the administration there, the work at the White House, that have a pool on who's the next to go. Who's the next cabinet member or assistant to leave the White House. We got to do that. Have some fun with that.
Well, my vote would be on the Director of Veterans Affairs.
Oh yeah, and why? And why so?
You've gotten, one of the things that Trump does not like is bad press, and the Veterans Affairs Office has gotten some really bad press lately, particularly with the Veterans Affairs Office that's closest, the facility that's closest to Trump. And I think Shulkin's is a person who is at best on his last lifeline.
Well, all right. We'll keep an eye on that. And what do you make of the president congratulating Putin for reelection? Well, the idea that there's an election in Russia, number one, makes me laugh. What did he get? Almost 80% of the vote, something like that?
And they had a phenomenal turnout.
Oh, sure they did. They had a great turnout because they made it, what I was reading was they made it a festive-like carnival atmosphere at all the polling places. You bob for apples and vote. I don't know what they're doing there, but people are coming out. Either that or they threaten to shoot you if you don't. But why would you congratulate a guy like Putin? I don't understand this. What good comes of this? He's not his friend. Well, Putin doesn't look at him as friend.
No, and well, what the White House said is that it's always good to keep lines of communication open with other world leaders. And in that sense, they're right. But in the other sense, you don't congratulate a person who is fairly close to being a tyrant with winning a fixed election. But he did something very similar not too long ago when he thought that the leader of China essentially being given a life term was a great idea.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we really ought to think about that in America.
Hey, you know, I can see, I want to listen into this phone call that President Trump had with Putin. Hey, Vladimir, congratulations on the election. I know you killed off most of your opponents, but, you know, you left a couple there hanging and made it interesting. Congratulations on a big win there. I don't get it.
Yeah.
And by the way, according to one national security advisor, had written in all caps, do not congratulate on his briefing materials, but he did it anyway. Probably you probably don't tell Trump what to do.
Right.
Right. And that goes back to your earlier and what a lot of people are saying, that he'll never fire Robert Mueller. And a lot of people are telling him that, but he has shown on multiple occasions that he ignores advice. And one of the things that's sobering, or some people might think it's exciting, is that the last month he's shown the tendency to more and more rely on his own instincts and not take the advice of people that are really experts in various areas.
Yeah. And, you know, people are making a big deal out of the sex scandals. I don't know how that hurts him. I mean, this guy, we knew going in what kind of a man he was. These, you know, you've got what now? You've got, let's see here, the Summer Zevros. She gets to go forward with her lawsuit against Trump, who she claims groped and kissed her. All right, so that's going on. You've got a former Playboy model suing the National Enquirer because she was paid $150,000. She gave him a story, but they never ran it, so she wants to get out of that. And then, of course, Stormy Daniels. This isn't going to hurt him, is it?
I think it might. They've been more successful in moving forward on bad stories in regard to Trump and staying consistent in their messaging than a whole lot of other people have been, including the press, the intelligence communities, the Democrats in Congress. And I think this might actually hurt him because one of his strongest supporting groups are Christian evangelicals.
Well, they haven't bailed on him yet?
they have not bailed on him yet.
Oh, my goodness.
And you have these groups basically hitting at the heart of his moral character. And in regard to the Stormy Daniels suit, there's something that has always intrigued me about that. And why has Trump, I mean, Trump's showing that he's thinking these are hurting him by the way he's lashing out at these suits. And if you don't think they're going to hurt you, you don't pay any attention to them. And he's clearly paying attention to these. And the one thing in regard to the Stormy Daniels suit that I think is interesting, and we don't know what the content of this is, but the prenup with Melania has to be very interesting here, because there's probably an infidelity clause in there. And if what Stormy Daniels is alleging is actually true, that infidelity clause would probably kick in, and Trump could stand to lose half of his assets. That's a fair chunk of change.
Why would he?
And I think that's getting Trump's attention.
Why would that guy be willing to sign anything like that?
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, as we've already talked about, he does things that are unpredictable, and he may well have thought, because people in positions of power oftentimes think they can get away with anything. Hmm. And he's made a number of statements clearly illustrating that he thinks that. I mean, that statement about that he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and his supporters would still back him is a great illustration of that.
And I'm just wondering if this guy has just changed the game, especially when it comes to sex scandals. Well, I just learned yesterday through a political PAC ad supporting Jeannie Ives that Governor Rauner was having an affair with his current wife while he was married to his first wife when she was pregnant with their third child. Did you follow all that, Bob?
Wow.
This came out yesterday. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Why wasn't this out a long time ago? I'm thinking, because it's no big deal to people anymore. Remember when sex scandals would ruin someone's career politically? Even the thought?
How about Gary Hart?
Oh, the list goes on and on. Well, I want to go back to Jerry Ryan. What was his name? Who was married to the movie star, TV star.
Yeah, Jerry Ryan was married to, I can't think of who it was.
I think it was, was her name Jerry?
Candidate.
But anyway, he just suggested having sex in some sex club with his wife. That was it.
Yeah.
He was done.
Then you had John Edwards.
Yeah. I just don't think that's going to happen anymore. Unless.
But you have, on the other hand, Newt Gingrich and, what he did, and it really didn't seem to affect him.
No. So, because it's not a two-way street, if the tables are turned and this was, let's just say Jeannie Ives. I think it's totally different if it's a woman. You want to tell me that Hillary Clinton would have had a snowball's chance if she had been married to three guys and had kids from three different guys?
Well, also Barack Obama. I mean, there's no way he could have done some of the things or had some of the allegations made against him that Trump has had made against him and survived.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no way that would have happened.
Yeah, it's just
I don't think it's a double standard necessarily against men versus women.
Oh,
I think
it's
a little bit more complex than that.
Oh, well, I'm a simple person, Bob.
Yeah.
I'm not a complex person. Very simple. All right. Well, hey, I have to ask you here. What's the temperature down there right now? We're at 28 degrees.
Well, we're in the midst of a cold spell, so it's down to about 63 here.
Yeah, I'm going to hang up on you now. All right. Well, enjoy. When are you coming back for good? August? July or August?
Well, I'm going to come back when there's an assurance that there will be no more snow or freezing temperatures.
All right. That's the end of May. Bob Bradley, good talking to you. We'll do it again.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Dr. Robert Bradley on WJBC.